You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to your Thursday edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, the very sick Jake Madison, as you can probably tell from my voice. No, I'm not trying to seduce you with sweet whispers or whatever into your ear. Fighting off a cold. I have missed yesterday's podcast, frankly, because I could not talk at all. So I apologize for that. But like Tyreek Evans sitting out the first game of a back-to-back, I am here today for you. We've got two games to recap in the 76ers win and then the loss last night against the Oklahoma City Thunder. We might even have some trade rumors to address, though I think I'm going to save that for tomorrow and just really focus on these two games, and then hopefully my voice will get a little bit better because there's no way I can keep talking for 20-something minutes right now without potentially dying a horrible, ugly, bloody death by the end of it. So we're really just going to jump into it today. Talk about the win, the loss. No surprise in there, though maybe it's a surprise the Pelicans beat the 76ers. Certain guys played well, certain didn't. You know, what's going on with Anthony Davis late in the fourth quarter? Justin Verrier pointed out recently on Twitter he's not shooting too well this month. Well, Buddy Hield is. Maybe they traded shoes. A bunch of things. We'll talk about all those today. Tomorrow, preview the game against the Heat, that Friday game in the Smoothie King Center. Talk about the trade rumors there. I think that's where they'll fit in a little bit better to discuss. Their name came up. The Pelicans' name recently came up with a specific player from Denver, to tease it a little bit. And then talk about maybe what some Pelicans want for Christmas with the holiday right around the corner. And then Monday, there will be no podcast as well. I'll just be traveling back. I'll be out of town. So other than that, we're going to just dive right into it today. So I lied. We're not going to just jump right into it. But you guys have heard me mention this before, and I'm going to say it again because it's something I personally use. And that is SeatGeek. It's the best way to get tickets to any live sporting event. You're all big basketball fans. You're all big football fans. You all like music. Well, SeatGeek is the best way to get in on the action and to make sure you're in the seats that you want for any concert, playoff game, potentially not for the Saints or Pelicans this year. But in theory, yes. For any Pelicans game, wherever you want to sit, I've used it a ton of times this year at the last minute to get tickets to Saints games, and it's been wonderful. I've gotten great seats at a very good price. I was there for the 10th anniversary of the Gleason block with unbelievable seats that I paid about 50% for of what their normal value would be, and that's thanks to SeatGeek. It aggregates everything, so it's going to pull these tickets from different places, and it's going to show them to you all in one little thing, and it's going to give them a grade. It's going to tell you whether these are a good buy, maybe not a good buy. This, you know, these tickets are going fast. Whatever it is, it's an aggregator like Kayak for travel, which I use. And it makes your life easier. It's going to give you the best deal. You work hard for your money. You want to make sure you're getting the best value of it. So you want to make sure you're using SeatGeek, whether it's on your computer or downloading the app on your phone. And just for Locked On Pelicans listeners, we have a promo. So we're talking value here, right? If you go download the SeatGeek app today, go to settings, go to enter promo code, put in LO Pelicans, as in Locked On Pelicans, LO Pelicans, you're going to get $20 back. They're going to send you a rebate in the mail for $20 just for buying tickets you were going to buy anyway. Don't miss out again on the game against the Miami Heat this coming Friday. That's going to be a fun one, even though the Heat aren't particularly good. They've got some fun guys on that team in Whiteside and young players in like Justice Winslow if he's playing. So there's a lot of fun to be had when you're going to games. Every big NBA player comes through New Orleans. Make sure you're there, and there's no better way than SeatGeek. So download the app, put in the promo code LOPELICANS, get your rebate, and get into whatever game you want today. All right, so that 76ers game, there's a lot to talk about with this. It's mainly the first half in terms of scoring, where the Pelicans scored 15 points in the first quarter. We're down by 8 to Philly. It was 23-15, not good. Looked like the Pelicans were going to lose this on the road, lose to Philly twice, get swept by them, which is something you just can't do. And then in the second quarter, they erupted for 42 points, the most they've had in a quarter this whole season, largely on the back of Anthony Davis. And then it was Etuan Moore and Tim Frazier. All of those guys were in double figures in that quarter alone. Frazier and Moore had 10. Davis had 11. So they rebounded. I mean, they bounced back. They responded. And that was nice to see because it's not something the Pelicans have done entirely this year. And then from there, it was easy. They were up enough that they could just kind of sleepwalk through the rest of the game. At times, they didn't look particularly good. Davis seemed to be more engaged, more into it than he had been a little bit, at least to start the game and in games past, where it seems like it takes him a little bit to wake up. He needs to come out with that energy right out of the gate. But he woke up. He was dunking all over the place. It was nice. But the most interesting thing from this game is really the minutes and the distribution here and how it was working, especially once you have people like Evans coming back. He didn't play in this game, and that's to be expected. They were going to play him at home on the second night of the back-to-back, which is the second game against the Thunder that we'll talk about. But this game was a little bit different because of the minutes rotation. You saw Omer Asik get more minutes than he has in the past. He got 15 and a half. Which was good, especially when they are running Okafor in Philly. Again, he's more situational. I understand he plays good defense at times, though it's not great. You see him out of position against quicker guys. He can't really do anything. And he still gives you zero offense. But Ajinsa certainly isn't the answer either. He got more minutes than Ajinsa, who got 11 and a half. But again, Asik's more situational. Ajinsa gives you better offense. He spaces the court a little bit better just because you actually need to guard him a few feet from the rim. You at least need to be around him, something you don't have to do with Omer Asik. Cunningham was getting his minutes going. He scored 9 points. He's still trying to get back into form and everything here. But one of the bigger things to me is Langston Galloway got a DNP, coach's decision. And that's a little bit odd, and especially when you don't have Evans available in this game. It was Holiday, Moore, Frazier. That was your guards. There really isn't anyone else that was playing those guard minutes. So they, after running a lot of guards a couple games previously, which had been working, where they were running four guard lineups and Anthony Davis, Gentry tightened it up to just three guards total. And I don't know if it's something that Galloway did. It's hard to imagine it was. He'd been playing pretty well for the Pelicans. He'd been a little bit streaky at times, but this is a guy who can light it up and can hit three-pointers for you. And I mean, the Pelicans were 10 of 17 on the night, which is very good. But I think they'd like to take more than 17 three-pointers by comparison. Philly took 33. Guy who's going to give you those shots to take is Langston Galloway. So it was a bit surprising to see that coming. But when you have a game where Tim Frazier's 2 of 2, Etuan Moore's 2 of 3, Dante Cunningham's 3 of 4, Heald's 2 of 2, and Holiday's 1 of 4, you're getting enough three-pointers at times to space the court, and maybe you don't need Galloway. So it was a bit of an interesting decision there. Solomon Hill, it does his Solomon Hill thing, and I'm starting to really dislike it. He played 33 minutes, pretty much, and took two shots. You want to know why this offense is one of the worst in the league? They're playing 4-on-5 at times. He's just got to shoot more. It's as simple as that. I don't care if he's not making it. You have to get him the ball, and you have to get him shots to keep defenses honest. It just kills court spacing when you have a guy who, if he gets the ball, is in no danger of taking a shot whatsoever. And it was very disappointing to see that overall from the Pelicans and from him. He needs to step up and just get in there and hit some shots, or at least take them to keep defenses honest and space the court better for Davis. This is how, you know, he's getting double and triple teamed at times. And the reason is that is because, again, you're playing 4-on-5. It's not going to work. But anyway, all led to the Pelicans with a 108-93 win, which was kind of easy once they had that second quarter. So, you know, not a whole lot from there to really dive in and take away. No one on the Sixers really could beat them. They kept everyone in check. Ilyasova was the leading scorer for them. He was 5 of 9 for the field, 14 points, only 2 of 4 from 3. So again, they were biting on pump fakes for him, which they did the last game, letting him get inside and get into the line twice, getting shots at the rim, which he could hit. He's a 3-point shooter. You have no need for that to be the case. But overall, it was a good game for the Pelicans, one they absolutely had to win, should win. Sixers aren't very good still, even though they've beaten some teams, including the Pelicans. So it was nice to see them match that energy total in the second quarter. Then the OKC game, and this is a bit of a weird game that shows you that even when the Pelicans are healthy and playing particularly well, this roster just isn't going to compete with top teams. So lost on the night. It was a 3-point game going into the fourth quarter. Pelicans down 3. They ended up losing 121-110 to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Again, no surprise. The Thunder aren't an elite team, let's say. They're a very good team, but they're closer to mediocre than elite, in my opinion. After this game, they're 17-12. So going into this, you have a good performance from Anthony Davis. Guy scores 34 points, 15 rebounds. Tremendous night. You get a good scoring performance out of Drew Holiday as well. 23 points. He was 2 of 3 from 3 with 10 assists. Then Terrence Jones steps up off the bench. 21 points. With very good shot selection, by the way. Got to be noted. And then you even get 10 points out of Tim Frazier. And 5 assists. So you have, right there, 4 guys in double figures, including one in the 30 points, and then 2 scoring 20-plus. And it gives you 110 points, and that's a good thing for the Pelicans. They're in the bottom, like, 5 of offensive rating. But it's not enough. It's not enough at all, because you're going against dominant guys, and they just don't have people that can handle it. So you thought Davis had a good game. Russell Westbrook put up 42, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, and only 4 turnovers. Last time he played the Pelicans, I think he had 10 turnovers. So it just goes to show you that even when you get good performances from these Pelicans players, they're just not a good enough team overall. And again, the minutes rotation was a little bit odd at times. Cheick Diallo in this game didn't play at all. He's been a bright spot for the Pelicans. They didn't send him back down to the D League. So why isn't he playing some more? The whole point was to send him to the D League to get some minutes into play and to work with a guy. And now you bring him back, and I'm sure he's working with the staff, but he's not playing. You were down 3, so you're looking at it where Alvin Gentry might be coaching for his job, let's say. So no, he's probably not going to play Diallo in that time. But then you're running Anthony Davis at center, which hasn't particularly worked out more often than not. Agence only had 5 minutes. Ajik had closer to between 8 and 9 minutes. So where's your center? You're running Terrence Jones trying to defend these centers. I've talked about this on the podcast. When it's Jones and Davis, defensively, Jones is guarding centers. It's not what you want out of this Pelicans team. And it hasn't been working. So because of that, you're letting certain players on OKC kind of just run all over you. Joffrey Laverne had the best game of his season, maybe his career. He put up 10 points. It's not working when you do that. So maybe Cheick Diallo is the guy you want in there playing well. Kanter had 14 points. That's another guy they run at center there too. Steven Adams had 12. You got to figure out the minutes rotation here. Maybe Cheick Diallo needs to start getting much more of a look than he has in the past. Buddy Hield, you know, a guy who's been shooting particularly well in December. This was his worst game in December, only 2 points. Didn't make a 3 after making at least 2, I think, in almost every game but 1 in December until this one, played 20 minutes. Langston Galloway, when you need some offense, the guy who's been the best for the Pelicans in crunch time this year. 5 minutes, 6 minutes. What's going on? You know, and maybe it's just the natural thing of Evans coming back. He played 14, looked like himself at times, looked like a guy who hadn't played basketball in 11 months at times. But if it's him coming back and throwing people out of the rotation, if you're trying to win, Evans isn't going to be the guy who's going to win the game for you. He looks more like a guy who hasn't played in 11 months. And like I said, everyone was saying, wait till these guys come back from injury. Evans isn't going to be a difference maker for a long time. If not, it might not even be this year at all. So it puts the Pelicans in an awkward bind with everything. Holiday's been playing well, but he's been hurt and he hasn't been that guy, and he's not that guy enough. So this game really just goes to show you that even when they got everyone kind of healthy, they struggle to do what they need to win these games. And it just wasn't enough, unfortunately, for them. And, you know, they went and they fought valiantly. But the other issue is rebounding. Pelicans had a defensive rebound rate this game of 67.5%. 67.5. So means Oklahoma City Thunder had an offensive rebound rate of 32.5%. Very, very good. Very poor for the Pelicans. Of course you need Diallo in this game. You need to run these centers more. So Ashik plays 9 minutes. Agence plays 5, and you're running Anthony Davis and Terrence Jones up there who are not grabbing defensive rebounds like they needed to. Davis did, but Jones had an abysmal defensive rebounding percentage on the night. It was lower than Drew Holiday. It wasn't much higher than Buddy Hield. Solomon Hill's not a great defensive rebounder by himself. Cunningham did okay. Oshik does okay. But Jones had a lower defensive rebounding rate than Tim Frazier did, than Evans. This isn't than Moore. It might be the lowest on the team now that I look at it. Second lowest on the team. That's not good. It's not what you want out of a guy who's a big man. He can score, but he hurts you so many other ways that it's disappointing to see. And that's one of the reasons the Pelicans lost. And again, this just goes to show, even when they're fully healthy and guys are playing well, it's not enough to beat teams better than them. This is what the Pelicans are. Gentry talked about what the identity for the team is the other day. You see it. This game against the Thunder was exactly it. They're mediocre at best. You know, you have guys that they're starting, which would be a very good bench unit, but they're the starters. Simple as that. So until that gets fixed, they're not really going to win a ton of games. The only way to do that is to tear down the roster and build a new one back up. And you're not going to do that midseason. I don't think you're going to be able to do it this offseason. So not the best situation for the Pelicans. But hey, at least they played well. That's a nice thing to see. Maybe it means they'll just beat the bad teams as opposed to losing them, which in and of itself is a bit of a moral victory. So that's going to be it for Locked On Pelicans. Sorry for the voice. Sorry for missing the podcast yesterday. Hey, even the media covering the team get hurt and sick and injured, especially it's just contagious when it's around the Pelicans at times. So tomorrow, got another podcast where you talk about trade rumors, maybe talk about Diallo a little bit more, what he does well, what he doesn't do well, and why he should be getting more of a run on the court than he is. No podcast Monday. I'll be traveling. So everyone enjoy your holiday this weekend. I know a lot of people have Monday off. I think that's the day it's being observed officially. So enjoy the day off. That'll be nice. Pelicans play that night. I'll be landing at the airport and then going straight to the game from there. That's my commitment. That's why I play on the second night of a back-to-back, record on the second day of a back-to-back, when I probably should be taking it off because my voice is killing me. So thank you all again for listening to Locked On Pelicans. We are on iTunes, on Audio Boom. Subscribe, like it, share it with your friends. Follow the podcast on Twitter. It's at Locked On Pels. I'm your host, Jake Madison. Follow me on Twitter, at Nola Jake, and I'll be back with you guys tomorrow.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.